Hello there, and welcome to this week's episode of Dramatic Dublin. We've got a fantastic show lined up. We have an interview with Kieran Taylor, Artistic Director of Carpet Theatre, a review of Morning, Afternoon and Evening from the Dolmen Theatre, a quick look at what's going on in theatres around Dublin, and of course some wonderful music. Could you tell us a little bit about your current project, Blind Theatre, please?
Yeah, well, it's a project for devising audio theatre with blind and visually impaired people, with a group from NCBI based in Dunleary, and with participants from the Stillorgan area. And we started last September and gathered together a group of 10 people and just started playing with the idea of how to create theatre together using audio, you know. So everybody was new to the whole idea, but it was about trying to create a creative language for people with visual impairment that they could use to communicate, you know, equally with sighted and blind or visually impaired.
Yeah, absolutely. Sure, even some of the greatest players, Samuel Beckett was fond of his radio plays as well, so it is an area that's worth exploring for sure.
Yeah, it's actually a wonderful medium, and, you know, not many people, you know, listen into radio dramas. There isn't that much available on broadcast, but there is an awful lot available online. So it was great to in the workshops we over the first sort of 10 weeks or so, we worked for about 30 weeks in total, 30 workshops, and over the first while we listened to lots of examples of radio drama through the ages, you know, starting with the Goon shows from the 50s,
yes,
which would have been like the 1930s live radio broadcast, you know, with comedy sound effects and the audience reaction and so on,
yeah,
right through to experimental, you know, American contemporary radio dramas, and also from RTE, that are much more about getting inside people's heads and playing around with sounds and you know, leading the audience off on various red herrings. But it was really fascinating for people to sort of discover, and I suppose people who are losing their sight or who are blind, they're much more attuned to using sound to find their way around. And it was fascinating to see them discover really how sound then can also be used creatively, you know, and how it can really tell a story. So one of the things we did then early on was to send people out with recorders and record from their own lives, even journeys that they take daily, and there's some great stuff came back, conversations on buses that one of our the ladies involved has a guide dog, you know, and everyone thinks they can chat to somebody who has a dog, you know, so it's a point of contact all the time. So we got some great conversations there. Another woman went to see a new baby in the Rotunda Hospital, so we got this sort of sonic journey through the city of Dublin along the bus and then through the corridors as the various people were sending her off in the wrong directions actually around the hospital, but she eventually found her way to the new baby, and could just hear the sound of the new baby as she arrived into the room. So
yeah, it's a lovely sound.
So from these sort of experiments then we started to construct ideas for some of the pieces that we're going to present later this month.
And is this with White Cane Theatre? White Cane Theatre?
Yeah, White Cane Audio Theatre, we've called ourselves. So we're doing a presentation of the work, and we're calling the event Sightless Cinema. So we're actually presenting it in the cinema in UCD Student Centre. So the idea is blind and sighted audience will come together to the cinema, but there won't be any visuals. It'll all be sound. So we'll all be sitting in the dark listening to these short radio plays and radio pieces that have come out of the workshop.
When is this event taking place, and how would people get tickets to it, etc., just so the listeners can get in on the...
Yeah, it's on Thursday the 18th of June, and it's on at 6:30 in the UCD campus student centre cinema there. Now it's very limited capacity, so if people are interested, they can apply for tickets by email is best at carpettheatre@gmail.com. There's two T's in the middle there, carpettheatre@gmail.com. And we'll be able to allocate tickets depending on demand. But the pieces will also be available after that event, so that's sort of a communal listening event, but they will be available online through the Dunleary Rathdown County Council Arts Office page as well, through their website, later on in July probably, or at the end of the summer. So even if people can't make it along on that evening, they'll be able to hear some of the results. Just to say as well, the sorts of things that are there, we've on the evening, we'll be listening to three short episodes of a soap opera that we've devised together with the group. This began with improvisations, and we started off with an improvisation in a hairdresser, you know, the way people gossip in a hairdresser.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And this has evolved into a full soap opera based in a hairdresser, where the chief stylist, Philip, he calls himself, his real name is Philip, he's actually losing his sight, but he's trying to cover it up, and there's sort of farcical results to all of that. So anyway, we're looking at a serious topic, but in a lighter sort of way. But it's a common experience for people who experience gradual sight loss, that's, you know, they might try to compensate and cover up the fact in the early days, and this is sort of exploring that. But there's lots of subplots and action in it as well, so it's a good bit of fun. And we're actually going to perform some of that in a live, the last episode will be a live radio presentation. So most of the evening, it'll be about an hour and a quarter, we'll be, you know, just listening in the dark, as I say, but the last bit will be a live performance. And we have a song as well, the White Cane song, which is about the experience again of people, you know, making that transition when they finally realise that they have to start using a white cane to negotiate their way around.
Sounds like a nice light-hearted way to look at something that's a serious issue, but at the same time it's nice to take a light-hearted approach to it.
Yeah, and I mean, everything that we've done is really just about the people who are there, you know, and their real experiences, and trying to then turn them into something, you know, artistic and you know, entertaining as well. You know, we had a lot of discussions again about people's experiences, you know, and when you have sight loss and are blind, you know, you can often get into sticky situations, or, you know, sort of funny things happen, and so we've got a whole series of those sort of stories, quite sort of short little vignettes or things that happen to people, like, you know, and we're calling it talking to empty chairs. So it's that's again a common experience for people. That's another one of the pieces. Again, everything that we've done has been sort of generated through by starting with improvisation. So the group really clicked in quickly to the idea of improvising on microphone. So we've recorded all the sessions and we've been sifting through and picking out material, and then gradually sort of starting to write scripts, and then bringing them back in, testing them out, rewriting them, and so on. So everybody's been involved in that process of devising. So it's been really fascinating. And we're actually this week and next week we're in the studio, and we're recording all of the dramas in a radio studio in Dunleary IATD, and that's going very well at the moment. So everyone's having great fun.
Sounds exciting. And how did Carpet Theatre get involved in this particular project?
Yeah, so this is a commission. So it's a public art, participatory art commission from the Dunleary Rathdown County Council Arts Office. And it's funded under the Percent for Art programme, which is under the Department of Environment, Community and Local Government, I think it is. So Dunleary looks for commissions for working with the NCBI. So I applied for that and was commissioned to work with this group, with the idea that we would use theatre devising techniques, but for radio drama. That's been the process then. So this event on the 18th is is the culmination of this year-long project. You know, with the results of what we've been creating over the year.
What's the background of Carpet Theatre, and how did you set up Carpet Theatre yourself, or were you involved in setting it up?
Yes, I'm the artistic director, and the company's been going now for 12, nearly 13 years, and what we do is devise new work. So it's always a process where I will get together with a group of actors and musicians often, and we'll start just with an idea and create performance works from that. And we've worked in all sorts of ways and in lots of different styles. So another commission from Dunleary Rathdown, we created a site-specific show in the Dunleary Ferry Terminal, and we then took that to the Dublin City Ferry Terminal as well, subsequently. So that was a performance where the audience gathered in the town and were brought down to the terminal, and various characters arrived in, and the whole event happened in the ferry terminal. Other shows would be like our last show in Project Arts Centre was Pigeon, was a full face character mask play. So they're masks that don't speak, so it was a wordless play. We toured widely with another show. We had The Blanche, which is a Buffon comedy show, so where the characters are like cartoon characters, big distorted bodies, and it's very extreme, satirical sort of fun.
So we do
a really wide range of stuff. So it's always about beginning with an idea, bringing the people together, and just starting to improvise and gradually working to the point where you have a full show, you know.
You studied under Jacques Lecoq. It sounds like he's had a profound impact on your work. I mean, working in Masque and Buffon, etc. It's very, very linked to Lecoq, I would imagine.
Absolutely, yeah. I studied with Jacques Lecoq for 2 years in Paris, and it's an international school, and it's based on a physical approach to theatre, because there might be like 20 different nationalities all working together, and the common language is, you know, is the physical. So everything, and it's also about devising, about creation. So from day one in that training, you're working together with other people, creating new work. And then obviously the training goes through lots of different theatre styles. So it's always about how to bring a team out and find the right style in which to do it, and that includes everything from clowning to tragic chorus to dramatic theatre to mime or silent theatre, you know. So it's fascinating, and it's that will be the background to my work, and so it's quite unusual with this, because I would always begin with movement, you know, and physical work, but for this project, it's all about the audio. So there was a lot more sitting down than would normally happen, but nonetheless, we had people out going on walks and recording their journeys and so on.
It's an interesting change.
But actually, you know,
facet theatre.
Well, you can tell the story, you know, you can tell a very physical story. You can bring people on a journey just through the sounds as well. And
absolutely.
I mean, what's fascinating about that is that people, when you're listening, you're creating the images in your own head, so it's a very personal experience and personalized. So very different from film, where everything is given to you. In audio theatre, it's your own imagination that is provoked by the sounds that you hear, and in that way, it becomes very, very intimate and very personal and experience, you know, and very rewarding as well, you know.
And people always say that the book is better than the film, because they have to visualise the characters in their head in the book, whereas in the film it's put on a plate. And perhaps it's the same with theatre. If it's audio, you have to create the characters in your mind, and they're exactly how you want them, as opposed to seeing them on stage. They're presented to you on a platter, and you have to just make do with whatever they actually look like. So it's an interesting approach. Yeah. That'd be definitely interesting.
And it means what we're really interested to see is like, or to understand a bit is, you know, when people see less well than you know, that they still, that it becomes even more vivid, because actually a huge part of their perception of the world is sound. You know, so touch and sound become very important when you're blind. And so this is, as I say, this is a medium that really can speak to blind and visually impaired, as well as being one to express themselves in, and one that we can share, that they can be shared in common. You know, so that's sort of the idea of the Cyclist Cinema event is to find this a common ground, and also have a sort of a celebration. You know, people go to the cinema all the time, and you know, blind people can go to the cinema and hear audio description. You know, so they can participate in this way. But with this, you know, it's a level playing field. Everyone is sort of in the dark together, listening to the plays. You know.
It's going to be nice to take a foray into the world of a person who is blind, and to see how the world is from their perspective as well. It's quite an interesting thing for a person who's not visually impaired or blind.
Yeah, absolutely, as well. And I mean, this what we've come up with, you know, explore some of that experience. But you know, in the end, we have we've more in common than we don't. You know, so it's really just it's about common human experiences. It's in the plays that we have of you know, things going wrong, and then you know, there are more serious things as well. There's a piece we have which is sort of about dance halls and love across the generations. So
nice.
It starts off with because we have a really wide age range in the group, so from 20s to 80s. So we have this piece called "Crossing the Floor" begins with, you know, the Kayleys and the dances in the 50s, and then moves on to the 70s discos and on to the 90s. You know, so it's sort of three generations, and you know, it's the same things that sort of recur, but just people's experiences of that world of looking for love on the dance floor, I think.
Yeah, it's still difficult.
Always. And yeah, I mean, it's actually a really nice piece there as well. And another piece that we have in there as well is it's sort of almost like an artistic documentary based on interviews with the group. So we've did detailed interviews with everybody individually in the group, and we got a sense of their experiences, and we've pulled it together thematically. It's not a sort of biographies of people or telling one person's story, but it's just getting a sense of the types of experiences that people have had. So we found that a lot of people who are visually impaired have done a lot of sponsored walks. So there's people who've been to the Himalayas, done parachute jumps, cycled around the US, you know, canoed in Florida, all these sorts of adventures, you know. And it's quite interesting to sort of get that experience from the perspective of people who have very limited sight.
Should they even have? They have carol singing in Bloomfields and Dunleary coming up to Christmas to raise money for the guide dogs, and all the carol singers and the dogs are there.
Yeah.
I decided to try my dog up inside once. That was the first time I ever decided to try the dog up inside the shopping centre, and they're all singing there. So my dog is gone.
Yeah.
But it was fine. Somebody gave her a biscuit and she was quiet after that. No, but it is great to see that people are out, you know, raising the funds, because they're amazing animals. I mean, the guide dogs and the people, as well, I suppose, but they're not really animals.
Yes, No, and there are two people in the group who have guide dogs, and the dog comes into one of the plays. So we've got one of the plays is called Zorro in the Bank. So it's about someone bringing their guide dog to the bank to do their banking, and as happens often, you know, an over helpful fellow customer tries to get involved, and it's quite sort of comical, you know.
Yeah, people mean well, but sometimes they kind of overstep the line. when they're trying
With the best intentions,
of course, the best intentions, but just they kind of overstep the mark or become somewhat patronising. Not to do that.
So we're playing with that idea and finding the sort of the fun in that experience.
It's nice to look at it from a fun aspect, I think. Anyway.
Yes. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. And I usually start my work looking at sort of the reality, real phenomena, and I always find myself leaning towards the comical side of life and trying to how can we have fun with the real world and what happens around us and our experiences.
Comedy is something that's accessible for everybody, so it's a good way to reach a wider range of people, I think.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and it's a way in, you know. So it's like you can talk about quite serious things. If you begin with comedy, then you know, sort of catches people off their guard, and they can have fun with it. But actually, you can explore, you know, the darker side of life as well. But it's a good way in. That's the way I like to approach it.
Is there any other carpet theatre productions on the horizon that you can tell us about?
I'm working with a completely different idea now. We're working with a group in Offaly, in a small village there near Birr called Kinnity, and over the summer in August with the people of the village and the surrounding area, we're going to recreate Tableau from the silent cinema. And the story behind this is that the famous silent film director who went over from Ireland in the early teens, 1915 I think it was, and became a major Hollywood director in the silent era, his name is Rex Ingram, and he was from Kinnity in County Offaly. So again, this is another commission, but it's about bringing out that story and bringing Hollywood back to Kinnity. And so we're going to sort of superimpose some dramatic scenes from the silent films in the village, and there's a great castle there as well, so we'll have fun putting scenes in the castle and around the village, and the idea would be the audience will arrive on the day and sort of go on a walk and tour around the village and see these sort of dramatic scenes portrayed in Tableau. So
site specific
Tableau in the village. So we're going to transform one idea we have is one of the films Rex Ingram made, The Four Horsemen of the Apocalypse, starred Rudy Valentino in his first big film, and he does an amazing tango dance in a bar, you know, a seedy bar in Buenos Aires. So we're going to turn the local pub into this seedy bar and get the Argentinian cowboys in. So it's about sort of turning the real place on its head slightly for a day.
It's almost like the polar opposite of the audio cinema. You're taking the audio from the one is pure audio, the other one is without audio.
It's pure visual, yeah, like, yeah. Now we might have some music as well, you know, and in various ways, like local musicians and various things in. But yeah, it's really concentrating on the visual. So yeah, absolutely, that's it's a good contrast. I have to think how to tell the story in a very small amount of pictures that would be created, you know, live with real people dressed up and horses and all sorts of things that we have to get involved.
Yeah,
it's going to be great fun.
It sounds like it'll be an absolute laugh. I'm sure it'll be very enjoyable for everyone who gets involved.
And yeah, that's the idea. It's really about getting the whole community together and getting everyone involved and sort of taking this heritage that is there, this connection with Hollywood, and having fun with it and bringing it all back home and getting everybody working together to make it all happen.
Excitement over the summer.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and it's great. The Offaly County Council again have commissioned that under the Percent for Art, and they have two other commissions around the county. So the idea is it's called The Secrets of Offaly. So they're revealing these connections to to people who are famous at one time but are a little less known now. So it's sort of reclaiming the heritage,
bringing them back into the limelight, and
yeah, exactly.
Oh,
and I mean, Rex Ingram's films are amazing. The silent films are really fascinating. We've been looking at them. I've been looking at them with groups of local people in Kinnity, and people are amazed at how racy they are, you know. And they're 100 years old, you know.
Yeah, sure. There wasn't that film, The Artist, that came out a while back. That was a silent film. It won lots of awards and everything, which kind of brought silent film back into the forefront of people's minds, because they had been forgotten for so long.
And a bit like the radio drama, you know, the way it takes just one part of your experience and tells the story with that. You know, the silent film, as you say, it just concentrates on the visual, without being able to speak, or, you know, it's predominantly the visual.
Yeah.
So it's sort of a language unto itself, you know, but it's really effective, you know, but once you accept that language. And it's the same like any form, you know, so I suppose it's just a different form, like theatre itself, or cinema, or music, you know.
And if you study the art of comedy, you mean you obviously know that how to physicalise comedy rather than just speak, tell a joke. You can physicalise it as well.
Absolutely, yeah. And
that helps with the understanding.
People love to see people see people suffer. You know, I think that's the essence of comedy is
like the
watching people suffer with no consequences.
Anybody who's ever seen a Marx Brothers film will understand that one.
Yeah,
just seeing people getting slapped around the head with a 2x4 and just being like, oh, no, I'm just going to hit the face. I'll be fine, though.
And it makes us feel better about ourselves for a moment that we're not the victims.
It is. I think that's a similar thing when people watch EastEnders. They just go, well, at least my life's not that depressing.
That's
the only reason I can ever think of watching it. I don't watch it myself, but I don't understand. But listen, sure, thank you very much for coming on the show. I really appreciate you taking the time to talk to us. Best of luck silent cinema. I hope to get involved. Hopefully come and see it anyway. And
yes, that'd be great.
Have a little, I was going to say watch, but listen is what I'm going to do.
And listen,
I'm going to come down and listen. It sounds fantastic.
And people can watch out then for the recordings, as I say, through the DLR County Council. I think it's www.dlrcoco.ie, and it'll be /arts. And as I say, later on in the summer, there should be some of the material that will be available to listen to online that way.
And best of luck with your project in Offaly as well. I hope that goes well. It sounds like it'll be a barrel of laughs for everyone.
But silent journeys. It's on the 22nd of August. So if anyone's in the Offaly area, come along. It'll be a free event.
Okay. Well, listen, thank you very much again for coming on. It's been very interesting, and I hope to hear more from Carpet Theatre. Lots more.
Thanks very much indeed.
You're very welcome. Thanks again.
Okay. Bye bye.
Bye bye now. That was Todd Snyder with Talking Seattle Grunge. But now, I'll be giving you a review of Morning, Afternoon and Evening, which was performed recently at the Dolman Theatre. Morning, Afternoon and Evening are a series of 3 short plays, 3 different characters, 1 story, written and performed by Andy Hines. Each play tells the story of a different character and delves deep into the depths of their emotions. Each character has a strong emotional story to tell, and each story is interlinked with the next. The first play tells the story of a man who, after spending many years estranged from his wife, is surprised to find her seeking his affections. He accepts this tentatively at first, afraid that she will revert back to sleeping in the spare room again. He has always wanted a child, but put his desire for a child aside in order to allow his wife pursue her high-flying career. He is surprised once again when she announces that she is pregnant, and it is the child resulting from this pregnancy which interlinks this story with that of his older brother Danny, who reappears after many years without contact. The third story is that of a woman who was in love with Danny in her youth and finds her love re-sparked when they meet again by chance. Andy Hines presents his acting debut with this piece, as in the past his experience in theatre has been based offstage as a director, writer and author. Hines has a vivid history of directing and teaching. He has directed at many prestigious theatres, including the Abbey, the Gate, Scottish Opera and King's Head, among others. He has taught acting at the Royal Academy of Dramatic Arts in London, Shakespeare's Globe and the Gaiety School of Acting. Even without taking into consideration that this is Hine's first foray into performing on stage, it is an incredible piece of acting. His ability to portray such a wide spectrum of emotions alone on stage was astounding, and his ability to differentiate between the three characters, all of whom were played by him, with simple costume adjustments and drastic changes of character. The set was minimal to the point of being non-existent, but this was not a hindrance, as sets and props were excess to requirement, as Hines wove a tale of three people drawn together by fate. A spectacular performance. I cannot recommend enough that you go and see this play. And next up, I'm going to tell you what's coming up in the theatres around Dublin. In Smock Alley Theatre, we have Full Moon Hotel by Philip Doherty. This is a Gaiety School of Acting production. It's running from Monday the 22nd to Saturday the 27th of June at 7:30 p.m. in the main space. Tickets are €15 or €10 concession. A black comedy about intersecting classes in an Irish hotel on a full moon night. A hotel has been built on the ancient site of a fairy fort. The disturbance of nature causes havoc, as the other world seeks revenge by giving the Irish what they fear the most, the impulse for adventure, to take action, to stand up for themselves. Over a full moon night in a hotel, a tapestry of different characters from every tier of society interweave towards a haunting climax. Each story is blackly comic, looking at modern taboos from the perspectives of the guests, the workers, and the hidden powers of the other world. By the time the sun rises, all characters reach their own epiphany in this sweeping allegorical tale of Ireland today. Also in Smock Alley, Train Spotting, from the 29th of June to the 4th of July, in the Boys' School. Tickets are €15. Out of Time Theatre presents a high-energy, irreverent yet poignant stage adaptation of Irvine Welsh's classic early 90s novel about a group of young misfit drug addicts. Expect a no-holds-barred, blackly comic and honest portrayal of addiction and early 90s Edinburgh life. In the Civic Theatre we have The Way Back Home, Ranner Theatre de Poste, Ireland, and Theatre Reflexion, Denmark, in association with Babero International Arts Festival for Children, present The Way Back Home. When a boy discovers a single propeller airplane in his closet, he does what any young adventurer would do. He flies into outer space. Millions of miles from Earth, the plane begins to sputter and quake. So the boy must make a daring landing on the moon. As it turns out, he's not alone up there. Branner Theatre and Denmark's Theatre, Reflexions, have joined forces to produce The Way Back Home, based on the hugely successful book by Irish author Oliver Jeffers. This new show combines puppetry, original music, and the distinctive and evocative design of Theatre Reflexions' Marion Agard to realise a beautiful and imaginative story on stage. In the new theatre we have Saints and Sinners, three contrasting plays by W.B. Yeats in an evening of great entertainment. The Pot of Broth, a lesser-known comedy, it tells the tale of a tramp with nothing but a stone in his pocket who manages to hoodwink a penny-pinching woman into filling his belly with tales of magic properties that the stone possesses. The second play, The Cat in the Moon, will be performed in the Irish language, An Cat agus an Gealach, a brand new translation by the world-renowned poet and translator Gabriel Rosenstock. The third play is Purgatory, a verse play, one of Yeats' last works, desolate and unforgiving, played with great energy and fire. Mouth on Fire will bring its characteristic precision to bear on this production, employing highly skilled actors, once again making great Irish writing accessible to a wider audience.